ask you this. Let me ask you this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central. Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go.
This is Sports Central.
Go.
On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
Okay, Yu Darvish is officially a Chicago Cub. He has walked into the building in Mesa, Arizona, and so has our own Kevin Powell, so we will talk to him here in a little bit. This is Sports Central. It is Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. If you haven't already, figure out your Valentine's Day stuff because, look, you just got to do it. Joe, I know you're ready, right?
I'm always ready.
It's, you know, just... I learned, and it probably took me 28 years, but I learned that, you know, just kidding, that we talked about this a little bit. Got reservations tomorrow night, and the babysitter, we're set.
Reliable babysitter?
Don't know. First timer.
Ooh.
First timer. So,
wow.
I think so. I think it'll be okay, but we'll see. If you have missed any of our episodes, Sports Central is designed for you to listen to anytime. Check it out on iTunes, Google Play Store, TuneIn, however you listen to your podcast, you can find it that way. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E. Our producer is Joe Romano. You can follow him at Joey Joe Rowe. I'm on Instagram at Adam Hogue, and WGN Radio is on Instagram too, and the Steve Cochran Show has taken over the account down in Vegas, so... You know, I know the Blackhawks are struggling right now, but the show is on the road in Las Vegas. Really, I mean, the Golden Knights are a great story this year in all of sports. So some cool things on Instagram. Follow them at WGN Radio. Our phone number is 312-235-2525. And the Blackhawks, well, they're the big story right now. So let's jump right in with the lead.
That's the end of the game. Coyotes with their biggest win of the season as far as goal totals are concerned. They beat the Hawks 6-1 here tonight. And the Blackhawks losing streak has now reached a season-long six games. They are 0-5-1 in their last six.
You know, we've seen losing streaks in the past, recent past, but in the midst of much longer winning stretches, too. I mean, wasn't there a 9-game losing streak, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years or something like that that the Hawks went through? They've had some tough stretches. But this latest one comes kind of on the heels of the season being at a crossroads. Like, okay, it's do or die now. And unfortunately, the response has been a 6-game losing streak, including last night's tough, tough loss, 6-1 to the Phoenix Coyotes, who are the worst team in all of hockey. So, look, I mean, it's out there. This organization right now has some hard decisions to make. There's been a lot of chatter about the future of Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman. And when you lose, that kind of stuff comes up. I mean, everybody knows that this they know what they've signed up for, and you know, you have to understand it. I would just be careful here. Especially when it comes to Joel Quenneville, who's still only 59 years old, who clearly can coach. You don't have to dig too hard into his Wikipedia page to see that, if you haven't been paying attention. He's second only to Scotty Bowman all time in wins. I mean, this is a Hall of Fame coach who's in the building for you already. And this is what I always say whenever we start talking about coaching changes, whatever sport or team it is. Who are you going to replace him with? So I think we have to all be careful to the overreaction of what has been a tough season. And a lot of things that are really hard to explain. Why is Jonathan Toews struggling? Why is Duncan Keith struggling? Why is Brent Seabrook struggling? Maybe hardest to believe is why is Brandon Saad struggling? He's still way younger. Those other guys, you kind of knew eventually the gas was going to start to run out a little bit. So I get the questions with Joel Quenneville. But I don't necessarily know that. I mean, when you look at how he took this team from A to B when he started and was really such a key to them winning that first Stanley Cup and getting over that hump, you know, there's no reason to think that if they're retooling all this, that he's not the guy to help retool that. I don't get it. Second only to Scotty Bowman in wins all time. This guy has been coaching, a head coach in the NHL for 20 years. Joe, do you know how many times he's made the playoffs in 20 years?
I'm going to go ahead and guess 17.
It's 18.
Ooh, damn, should have gone with my gut.
Very good guess. And that includes, by the way, the year he was fired by St. Louis in the middle of the season, didn't get a chance to finish that out. But that team did not make the playoffs. But with him coaching a full season, he's only missed it once. That's pretty good success. I know it's kind of easier to make the playoffs in the NHL and the NBA than some other sports, but the guy's a winner. And I don't think that conversation about Joel Quenneville's future really solves anything. Now, you know, we'll have to see how the rest of this plays out, but Stan Bowman, maybe a deeper conversation is worthy there. I honestly, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know, to tell you that I can analyze every single hockey move like I can when I wrote a 2,000-word story in December on Ryan Pace and why he should not be fired. Okay? I mean, I've been covering that team, and at the general manager level, you analyze every single move. I'm not qualified to do that at the hockey level, and with the Blackhawks, I'm just not, and I'm not going to pretend to. So I just think in general, these guys have won 3 Stanley Cups. They've done an unbelievable job with this franchise. And by the way, John McNutter knows what he's doing. So really the overall message is, does it suck that the Hawks are struggling this year? Absolutely. But I would trust these guys to get it turned around.
Well, one comment I have regarding Stan Bowman is, almost like the White Sox, I don't know exactly who's making the personnel decisions. I feel like there are some moves that have him written all over it, where it's, you know, a youth or a monetary move. And then there's other ones where I feel like Quenneville was like, yo, go get me this kind of player. Go get me this type of, you know, third liner. Just in general. That's not, you know.
Man. I don't know. But I think it's fair to bring up. Jeremy Roenick was on the Steve Cochran show this morning with Pete McMurray filling in for Steve. By the way, Steve will be doing a show from Vegas tomorrow with Pete McMurray, right? That's the plan?
Yes. Will be on from 8 to 10.
Got it.
In Vegas, and he'll be on with us in a couple minutes.
Yeah. But Jeremy Roenick on the show today, mainly to talk about the Olympics, but chimed in on what's going on with the Blackhawks towards the end of that conversation.
They just got whipped by the worst team in NFL, the Arizona Coyotes. You know that things are really bad when you're last in the Central and you lose to the lowest team in the National Hockey League, the Arizona Coyotes. There's problems. I think I just don't think that the young kids are developing as fast as they should be. I think the young defensemen make way too many mistakes, and the fact that you have Corey Crawford that's injured, who is the key of their team and the backbone of their team, is too much of a hurdle to have to overcome. It's too bad, and for some reason Johnny Taves seems a little frustrated. I think Saad has not been the player that everybody expected coming back. Once they bounce back and find their scoring touch again, the team will be better. But as of right now, it just seems that it's not going their way. And I just hope that they don't do something crazy like firing their coach Quenneville. He's one of the best ever in the history of the game. And you know, it's not more his fault as it is, I think, just some of the youth not developing as fast as they should be.
I think you said it great there, Jeremy Roenick. Just don't think firing Joel Quenneville is the answer right now. Our poll question today, and you can vote on Twitter, @AdamHoge is where you find the poll question. Should the Blackhawks shut Corey Crawford down for the rest of this season. Save him for next year. At this point, the state that they're in, I think that's a fair question to ask. Got to get that guy healthy. We've, if nothing else, seen how critical he is to this team's success. And at this point, you know, it might just be accepting reality where the season is and make sure he's ready for next year. So that's our poll question today. Steve, ready out there in Vegas now?
He sure is.
Mr. Steve Cochran.
Welcome. Is this the Intergalactic Sports Central?
This is. We are all over the map today.
You guys even included New Jersey in this show?
I know. See, I was hesitant, but actually, you know, Dave, you know how Dave is. Sometimes he, you know, insists on being part of the party.
Little pouty. I think that's where you're going. Little pouty. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said it, not me.
Yep.
How's Vegas been so far?
Enough about Vegas. Let me just say this about you.
Okay.
Congratulations. You highly deserve this show, and I think you sound great so far. And I hope anybody listening right now will go out and get their friends to listen every afternoon. So nice work by you.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. And I appreciate all the support you've given me on with the morning show and the Bear stuff. But you're in Las Vegas. And how much money have you lost so far?
You asked how it's going. I'm down, I don't know, $500 or so. So I figure I could pay for the chair I'm sitting in at the video poker machine.
Well, pretty soon they'll make you get up. Or actually, if you're losing, they'll just keep you strapped out.
Yeah. No, they love me. They just brought me a steak.
Yeah. That's when you know it's going bad. All right. So you got to be
the elephant in the room would be the Blackhawks.
I know.
What you're trying to get to?
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, at least it's exciting with Las Vegas, and they've been a great story this year.
We were talking about this off the air. You know, before you started on the show today, it's just disappointing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's a great position to be in that they've raised the bar for winning to the level that they have. But nobody was more excited than me when Stan Bowman came out and ripped the team after the Nashville sweep last year and the summer moves that were made. And you figured, okay, here we go again. And then they opened with that 10-1 shellacking of Pittsburgh. And Saad has, what, 5 goals in the first 3 games? And you think, well, we're off to the races. And it's been win 2, lose 3, win 1, lose 1, win 2, lose 1 the rest of the way. And it's just maddening. But I got to tell you, last night against the worst team in the league is as bad a performance as I've seen. You know how much I love this team. As bad a performance as I've seen since probably 2007. And that's what they got to figure out. Because it doesn't come down to just Crawford's not playing. It doesn't come down to, well, we need some more help on the back end. Something's wrong to the point where they can't get the puck in the net and nobody's skating in any sort of sync. It's very bizarre to watch. I don't know if you have the same feeling, but I watch this team every game. I listen to this team every game. I feel like I know these guys pretty well, and it's really confusing to me.
Yeah, no, it's a great way to put it because it doesn't make sense. I mean, some of this makes sense, like a drop-off from the veterans, and we knew that they were going to be young in certain areas, but losing 6-1 to the worst team in hockey and really not even be competitive, I think that's what everyone is struggling with. And, you know, Jeremy Roenick was on our station this morning with Pete McMurray filling in for you, and he said quite bluntly what I just reiterated here on this show. Firing Joel Quenneville, though, is not the answer. This guy, the guy knows how to coach, and he's already proven that with a young group retooling that he can be the missing piece and bring it all together. So I don't think getting rid of him right now makes any sense.
No, there's no way. And I would be stunned if that's the move they made. I think there's some sort of significant move coming, but that's not it. And the bottom line is this. If he wants to coach again next year, or even the year after that, he deserves to. You know, the reason you got the 3 cups here is the core 4 plus Joel Quenneville. It doesn't happen without Q.
Right. No.
I don't know what else you do. Right? I mean, I'm telling you, I don't think Q goes. But do you fire Stan Bowman? Because Stan Bowman's a guy that glued the thing together after the NHL's ridiculous salary cap rules broke the club up every time they won a cup. So does Bowman deserve another year to figure it out? Do you make a deal for Taves? I know that sounds crazy, but wow. I mean, here's a guy, captain of the team, couldn't be a better guy. He's got tons of value right now. I don't think that's off the table. Or maybe you send Saad somewhere because Sudsman as big a disappointment as anybody. You know, he's 24 years old. It's not his legs. It's between his ears, and he can't get it figured out. So it's just, it's aggravating. It's confusing. But if you love the Hawks like we do, and I know you do, you got to believe they're going to get it figured out. I'm just surprised they didn't get it figured out for this year.
Steve Cochran's in Las Vegas, where the Blackhawks take on the Golden Knights tonight. And you guys have a fun download show coming up, sort of a pre-game live from Vegas, right?
Yeah, we'll be on with Justin from like the top of the show from 7 to 8:30. It's pregame. We'll get a look at that new T-Mobile Arena, and it's what you said too at the top. The Vegas story is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a sports fan and you look at expansion teams' records, there's nobody close to what they've done this year.
It's one of the best stories in all of sports, if not the best this year.
It's insane. There's no way an expansion team should do what they've done, even though the expansion draft rules were probably as liberal as they've ever been. But I'm just amazed. Best record in the league last time I looked, and there's no reason to think it's going to stop. It would be really great if it stopped tonight.
How many inches of snow is there in Las Vegas?
Right now we're looking at nothing. It's a beautiful, partly cloudy sky, about 65 degrees, and I'm sitting outside with some people from Chicago drinking Mai Tais at 11:15 Vegas time.
Oh, weird, because Joe Romano and I are actually drinking Mai Tais right now, too.
Well, that's why you're doing the show, man.
Yeah. I imagine that despite the Blackhawks' struggles, this still had to be a game that was on a lot of people's calendars. A lot of Blackhawks fans wandering around the strip.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. You see them Blackhawks sweaters everywhere. And I would say the Vegas logo is maybe the second best logo in the league now outside of the original six stuff. But the Indian head is everywhere, and why wouldn't it be? Looks great on anybody.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I don't like that because they're technically not the Las Vegas Golden Knights. They're the Vegas Golden Knights. That's a little weird to me.
I think it's a local thing.
Okay.
You know, people here don't have time to say lost. They're too busy taking money from me.
All right. Well, you have fun out there. Did I see that Andrew Darlis, because I've been following your guys' Instagram craziness, is the way I would put it. Did she spill an entire coffee before you guys got on a plane yesterday?
I had heard that. Now, I was not sitting with them. Just by happenstance and by choice. I had heard there was some trouble in that part of the plane, but there were a lot of Blackhawk fans that came out with us, and they were all nice. And look, Chicago, man, I don't need to tell you, best city in the world.
No, it is. It is. All right. Well,
by the way, what's the temperature there?
That's like, what is it, Joe? 73 today, right?
Yeah,
no, you know what? We reached 30 today, Steve, which is a big
milestone. Oh, well, that's fantastic.
Big milestone.
I'll be home tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, actually, I think it's supposed to be in the 40s tomorrow, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, Pete McMurray will be in for me in the morning again. I understand that he's trying to facilitate a coup and completely take over the show, but I will be back Thursday morning. And it looks like Mike Madigan's in a lot of trouble, so that'll be fun for me.
Yes, I heard about that a little bit.
But, now, you be nice to Joe Romano. He's doing a great job for me. Don't you burn him out.
I'm trying not to. Joe, how are you doing? You tell Steve you're doing okay.
The Mai Tais are delish, my man.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right.
Steve, have fun out there.
Boys, I appreciate you checking in. Thank you.
All right. Steve Cochran in Las Vegas with the Blackhawks, and there will be a special edition of the download tonight on WGN leading up to the Blackhawks game in Las Vegas. Steve Cochran joining Justin Kaufman. And then again tomorrow, the Steve Cochran show airs sort of half and half from Las Vegas. And then unfortunately, he has
Rokan
come
makes an appearance too. We'll do crosstalk with Bill and Wendy. I think we're going to try to get every single host on the station during the show.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't call me. Just kidding. All right. I guess we should take a break here. We are going to check in next with Kevin Powell, though, we'll have to make sure he's ready, because Yu Darvish was speaking with the media right now. In fact, some photos appearing on Twitter as I look. He wasn't kidding about the Japanese media invasion.
Oh, yeah?
That's not a very big media room down there at Sloan Park. I've been there. And it's probably a zoo. So whenever Kevin Powell is ready, we'll check in with him, get the reaction from Mesa, Arizona, as the Cubs introduce Yu Darvish, their latest prized piece to their already amazing roster. So we'll check in with him, and then a little bit later on with Dave Ennett, who is in Piscataway, New Jersey. I don't know anything about the stadium there, but it looked pretty cool. We just had like this conference call deal that we do here at WGN, and he was standing there from the booth, it looked like.
Looked like he rented out the joint.
He was probably posing. He probably purposely set up so that you could like see the background. I'm in Piscataway.
All the banners in Rutgers Stadium for all the championships they won.
Crickets. Do they have any basketball championships at all?
I doubt it.
That's all right. We'll take a quick time. I'll be right back here on Sports Central.
WGN. This is where WGN Sports Central lives.
It's alive!
Streaming right now with your host, Adam Hogue.
Poll question today, should the Blackhawks shut Corey Crawford down for the rest of the season? Joe, do you have a result so far?
Yeah, right now we have 85% of the fan base saying yes, wow. Corey Crawford should be shut down.
I mean, that makes sense. It sounds like he's almost ready, though.
Yeah.
And so it's like everything else with the Blackhawks right now. It's a hard question to answer. Everything with the Hawks right now. Why are certain players struggling? What's the answer in the front office or the coaching staff? You know, they made changes with the coaching staff. Something's missing. One thing we know that's missing a lot is Corey Crawford, who's been out since late December, and it's been a killer. So him coming back would probably help a lot, but is it too little too late?
Or is he the spark that gets the team going?
Maybe. The math is really against the Blackhawks, though. Like, the percentage of them making the playoffs, didn't I read it's like 1% or something? So, I think long-term health next season matters more. But obviously, the Blackhawks and their doctors know way more about the situation and what's happening there. I'm a little surprised it's 86% now. Corey Crawford should be shut down for the rest of the year, but I did expect it to trend that way. What about yesterday's poll question, kind of putting that one to bed?
So yesterday we asked, as a Cubs fan, are you okay with losing Jake Arrieta, even if he ends up with the Brewers or the Cardinals? You want to guess?
Well, we were trending towards yes, but it was a little bit closer.
Yeah, it ended up right around 60%. 63% said yes, they're okay with losing Arrieta, so they're happy about Yu Darvish.
So,
and, you know, Arrieta, he'd be the ace for the Brewers, and at least in the argument to be the ace for the Cardinals, I would think. Darvish, I mean, you can talk about him being a four for the Cubs.
And I was looking at that Brewers rotation last night. A lot of unanswered questions there.
They need something. Even if it's not Arrieta, they need something.
I mean, I like the lineup. I like the moves that they've made. I think they're a serious contender, but they're pitching. And they're in a similar situation with Jimmy Nelson as the White Sox are with Carlos Rodon. Shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
Back around June.
Except they want to contend this year.
Yeah, a little different. White Sox can be patient with that shoulder. Brewers are going to need to throw him out there. But we talked about the money yesterday in Arrieta. That's tough for Milwaukee to swallow, I think.
Yeah, they were kind of already pushing it. You know, their general manager had to go to ownership and say, all right, you know, Kane and Yelich can happen. Can we get some cash? Now all of a sudden he's going to ask for Arrieta. I mean, Arrieta's going to ask for at least what Darvish got, right? $21
million? Yeah.
I mean, 18, I would think, is as lowest as he would go.
All right, well, Yu Darvish is in Mesa. Have we heard from Kevin yet? Probably.
Yeah, he should be ready to go in a couple minutes.
Okay, so he's just wrapping up with Yu Darvish in Mesa, Arizona. Flew out there early this morning, so I saw all the media. So, like, apparently this was a big deal. Like, Yu Darvish took a long time to get there today. And I kept seeing these photos of all the media, the poor reporters that had to stand out there in the beautiful weather of Arizona waiting for Yu to show up. And I'm sure there are plenty of puns. We're waiting for Yu.
They're all over the place.
Those
man.
Have been exhausting.
Yeah. I think you can go to each corner of the ballpark coming up, and you'll be able to get four different shirts at each corner. I mean,
yeah.
It's going to get crazy.
And hopefully, you know, hopefully they stay clean.
Yeah.
Because we've seen those things trend towards racist in the past.
Oh, yeah.
With some of that stuff. And by the way, did you see what Christian Fauria, WEEI, said the other day?
Yep.
Oh, my God. It's something every week with that Boston station.
Yeah.
I know I'm getting off track here, but seriously, every week in Boston sports radio, there's somebody who says something racist or does something inappropriate.
And I can't imagine their numbers are down. It's not like they're doing it to, you know, get a jump and become the rock jocks of the 90s and, you know, hey, listen to us, woo, woo, woo.
I mean, it's probably a culture thing, and they just, they go over the line, which, look, it happens in this business. We've all seen it over the years, but it doesn't make it an excuse for it to happen. But what he did was, Tom Brady's agent is Don Yee, and Christian Fauria just decided to start doing an Asian accent while pretending to, you know, say the things that Don Yee might say. And Don Yee doesn't have an Asian accent. So it was just extremely inappropriate. And he kept running with it. And you could tell his co-hosts were kind of uncomfortable with it, too, if you listen to the audio. But I think he got suspended. I think it came out yesterday that he was suspended. And rightfully so. But, all right, so the Cubs introduce Yu Darvish, first day out in Arizona as pitchers and catchers report. It's, you know, always a fun day. Just kind of get baseball back in the bloodstream a little bit. Stories will be embellished. In fact, Paul Sullivan wrote a great story. I think it was in yesterday's Chicago Tribune of just sort of how the tales of spring training tend to get embellished over the years.
Best shape of my life.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That happens at every training camp.
Well, still. It also happens in Bourbon every year with the Bears. I mean, what is there to be negative about? There's no results. And, I mean, the only thing we criticize in a practice in July is like, oh,
Mitch, not knowing the plays.
Mitch Trubisky can't get the snap. You know, remember those snap issues?
Yep.
That turned out to not be a problem. Turned out to be a problem a little bit for Cody Whitehair, some of those shotgun snaps. But, oh, Mitch has never been under center before. That was fun. Completely blown out of proportion.
We got a jersey number for Darvish. Do you see that in any of those pictures?
Ooh, good question.
That's one of my favorite things.
Because weren't we talking about 21? Wasn't that?
I think the new guy, Chatwood.
Oh, that's what
they're both new guys, but I think
it was. Because someone was upset about using Sosa's number.
Yeah, obviously I'm not upset about it. I'm not a diehard Cubs fan. And I don't think that they need to retire it, but I do think that it should be off limits. I think that, you know, especially with the guys that have worn it, Jason Marquis, Jason Hamill. I mean, I think didn't Milton Bradley wear that number? Like,
yeah,
I understand Sosa, you know, the way it ended with the Cubs and the, you know, suspected steroid use. But, man, that's that number should be off limits.
It looks like he's wearing 17. There's a photo on Twitter from Jesse Rogers with Bruce Levine staring very awkwardly into Yu Darvish's eyes. But it's kind of a side angle, but it looks to me like it's number 17 on Yu Darvish. So, looks like that's the direction he's going, not 21. So hopefully that answers your question. Well, a guy who can definitely answer that question, hopefully, since he was there in the room, is Kevin Powell. We will take a quick time out right now, bring him in the show. Still got Dave Ennett as well from New Jersey, and plenty of buried headlines, including we have the first Bears game on the schedule for 2018. The first Bears game is on the schedule, and we'll share that with you in buried headlines a little later. Quick time out. Be right back.
What?
Yes!
What?
No!
What?
Let me think.
Ooh. Yeah!
Good talk, Coach. Thanks.
Maybe we should stick the radio.
He's got a point.
Chicago Sports Conversation. This is Sports Central with Adam Hogue.
All right, we talked to Steve Cockrell earlier from Las Vegas. We had about 7 hours south from there, at least if you're driving. Kevin Powell is in Mesa, Arizona with the Cubs and Yu Darvish. Kev, how'd it go?
It was good. It was a completely packed media workroom here at the Cubs Spring Training Complex. It's normally not suited for a amount of members of the media as there was today with the Japanese media members and things like that. So
yeah, that room's pretty small.
It's pretty tight. So we were cramped in there. I was trying to call you, but I couldn't really get from one room to the other. So, it was an interesting press conference. There were some laughs involved. Not a whole lot shed on contract details. Darvish really didn't really want to get into details in that regard. Says he's very excited to play for the Cubs. He finished off the press conference when he was asked about Joe Maddon, and he says, keep in mind all this was through a translator, that he has heard that Joe Maddon likes to dress with interesting clothes and he likes to bring animals around. So I think he's gotten word about the zaniness and the craziness that happens at spring training. And they touched on some analytical stuff, and he said that the metrics and some of the advanced analytical technology the Cubs have, he says he's never seen anything like it before, and that's for coming from a guy who does love the analytical aspect of the game and in pitching and things like that. So I thought that was interesting to hear, but overall, let the Yu Darvish circus begin.
So it sounds like he was really attracted to the Cubs as a destination. I look at like the Blackhawks, the last decade have really become a place where everyone wants to play. Did you get that sense with Yu Darvish?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's how he started it. He said he was very impressed by, remember Theo and Jed went down there and visited him in Texas about a month and a half ago or so. Says he was completely impressed. I don't think that there was a whole lot of questioning for Darvish. I mean, I'm sure they're working out little kinks in the contract details and things like that. But I think in terms of him signing this late, I think that was just the way the market was playing out. So I don't think there was any real, not that he necessarily had his mind made up, but it's not like he was holding out for something better. I think absolutely. He says the player he's looking forward to most talking to and meeting and kind of being around is Kyle Schwarber. Because Schwarber tagged him for a homer last year, and he couldn't believe that he hit the ball out. So he wants to know how Schwarber's workout regimen is, because he couldn't believe that Schwarber hit that ball off of him into the bleachers. So,
yeah, that was in the NLCS, yeah. Right? And one of the the only run the Cubs were able to get off Darvish.
Yeah, and I want to say it was like a fastball down and away on Schwarber, and he just kind of poked it out to left field.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And everyone was like, what? Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a bad pitch. So, he says he's interested in he's met some of his teammates. I'm sure we'll hear more and more from them as the week rolls on.
Was he wearing number 17?
11.
11, okay.
Well, 17 is Bryant, yeah.
Oh, yeah, duh. We were looking at a photo from the side, and we're like,
whoops.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
It could be 17. And 11 makes more sense.
Yeah. 21 would have been weird because that's Sosa's number. So, number 11 for Darvish. That was the jersey number. So, let the circus begin. There's a ton of people here. There's some fans around the complex as well. So, plenty to talk about with Darvish this week.
All right. Well, beyond Yu Darvish, what other storylines are there going to be here early in the first week in spring camp?
I can't wait to see Kyle Schwarber in person. Remember, he dropped 20-plus pounds. That was something he had talked about with Theo and Jed and management about going in a different direction.
And for some people, it's like, well, wait a minute, this guy can mash. That's kind of what he is a lefty power slugger. Why are you dropping 20 pounds? But I don't think it can hurt. I don't think it's going to affect bat speed. If anything, it's probably going to make it better. I don't think he's going to lose a whole lot of power. I think for Schwarber this year, it's can you be somewhat productive or at least not a negative in the outfield? So I'm really interested to see Schwarber up close. And, of course, there's the Darvish circus. And I'm interested to get a look at Brandon Morrow, who's right now I guess he's basically the closer. So I'm interested to hear if they think that's like an open competition right now, or if it's Morrow's job to lose and if he is the closer. So, you know, one other nugget from the Darvish press conference was he was asked about Chris Jimenez, who, remember, signed a month or two ago, and he had caught for Darvish. He was his personal catcher in Texas, yeah. And Darvish was asked how much that impacted his signing, and Darvish joked that he likes Wilson Contreras more. So he's got a sense of humor on him, and I'm not exactly sure. Well, I think he was kidding, but I'm not exactly sure. But we all got a kick out of that.
You mentioned Schwarber. Are there any parallels that can be drawn there with what Avi Garcia did on the south side with his weight last year, and that leading to a lot more success?
That's the first person I thought of when I had read that story, that Schwarber's going to go with this different workout plan. He's going to try to shed some weight. And I guess you've seen it with players before. I'm like, you know, Avi Garcia, when I heard he was losing weight, I'm like, man, I saw him 2 years ago. He looked just about as good a shape as anybody I've seen in Major League Baseball. But it clearly worked for him, and whether it is a physical thing or a mental thing, it clearly worked. So that was the first thing I thought of, or at least a similar comparison to a player had gone with that route. But I think it's an equal comparison. And I'm interested to actually ask Avi Garcia about that, or at least the members of the White Sox, of what they think of Schwarber cutting this weight, because Avi Garcia turned into a potential complete entire bust into an all-star. So we'll see if it helps Schwarber. But I think for Schwarber, the biggest thing will be in the field, because, man, there were some embarrassing moments for him out and left last year.
Last thing for you is we have Kevin Powell out in the desert. Where are the Cubs right now with the roster? I mean, are they all set, or given the free agent market that's still out there, could there still be more moves coming?
No, I don't think so. I don't know what else. I mean, it's pretty much full. The question mark, I guess, is going to be who's going to be the leadoff guy. They didn't have a leadoff guy last year, ever since Dexter Fowler left. But who are you going to add? There's no one to add. Where are you going to add anybody? You have Hayward and Wright, center. You're going to see Almora. Left, you'll see Schwarber. You'll see Zobrist. I think Zobrist is the best leadoff man amongst them, but he's not an everyday player anymore.
Kev, refresh my memory, because I remember that coming up at the end of season press conference with Theo. Didn't he say that he views that as like a luxury, not necessarily a necessity, the leadoff hitter?
I think it was something along those lines, yes. Yeah. And I think it's probably a little bit overrated, I guess, but I've heard some crazy things people are throwing out there, like, you know, Chris Bryant there. I think it's just going to be a mass rotation instead of, you know, putting it all on somebody's shoulders, because it didn't work last year. I mean, we can all joke about Rizzo, and Rizzo did have a lot of success at it, but you don't want Anthony Rizzo at the leadoff spot. So I don't really know what they're going to do, and Almora's got one of the highest swing and miss percentages on the team, not your ideal leadoff guy. So, you know, to me, Zobrist is the best option, but he's not an everyday player anymore. He's kind of like a swingman now, and can basically play the outfield, he can play the infield, wherever they need him. And he's been that way for a few years, but we've seen his playing time decrease a little bit. So I don't know. I'm interested to see what Joe's going to say this week about the leadoff spot, and what some of the players are going to say about it as well.
All right, Kev, well, have a good time out there. And, you know, just say hi to you, Darvish, on behalf of everybody from WGN. I'm sure he'll understand.
I think he's a huge GM fan. That's what my sources are telling me. So okay. I'll tell him you guys said hi. Good to talk. I'll check in with you guys tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you then, Kev.
All right. See you later.
All right. Kevin Powell out in the desert with the Cubs and Yu Darvish today. And we go from Arizona all the way to the other side of the country, Northwestern, facing Rutgers later tonight. And Dave Ennett, of course, on the call for the game as Northwestern tries to get back in the winning track against Rutgers tonight. Hey, Dave.
Again, you know what, Adam? I don't want Kev to have too good a time out there.
Okay,
so
good point.
Just, you know, don't overdo that.
Yeah, Joe will call him back and let him know.
Thanks.
So first thing I want to start with you, because we just had, I referenced this earlier, we just had our WGN conference call situation right before the show started.
Yep.
And
yep.
I could see the stadium in the background. I've never been, well, because you're in the arena. I shouldn't call it a stadium. You're in the arena.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I've never been there. What is Rutgers basketball arena like?
That's the Rutgers Athletic Center, affectionately known as the RAC. And
okay.
to be honest with you, as you could tell when you were watching on the teleconference, we're up kind of high there in the stands.
Yeah, was that your booth?
That's our broadcast position up there, and that's their press box. And they don't, unlike a lot of arenas, they don't have media courtside, maybe television. Actually, I don't think they would have TV. I think TV's up there as well. And yeah, everybody does it a little bit differently. It's not a place that has that feel of a real intimidating road venue like you find a lot of places. And also, quite frankly, they don't usually have a very big crowd in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they had a big crowd for Purdue this year. But generally, their home games, even that was, I think, about 8,000. So it's not a huge arena. That said, there are a lot of arenas. I don't think you necessarily have to have a huge place. It only seats 8,000. That's the same as Welsh Ryan Arena under its previous iteration. And I think it's going to seat a few less when they open next year after the renovation. But it's... And let's face it, they also haven't had winning teams lately, and that's probably got something to do with the atmosphere in there.
So Northwestern, it's almost similar to how we've been talking about the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not the season that we all expected, and you just kind of keep expecting them to get on their winning ways, to how they should be playing, and Northwestern seems to have done that for a game or two here and there, and then you just have that game against Michigan the other day, and it goes the other way. So where is this Northwestern team right now in this season and what they're still playing for?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's kind of still to be written. I think clearly this has been a rough stretch for them in terms of, and everybody, I think, in the Big Ten has gone through some form of this, where you've played a bunch of games in rapid succession on the road. This will be their fifth road game tonight in their last six games, including three straight on the road, of which they managed to win two, which isn't all bad. Then they came home and had the big win over Michigan, and then kind of laid an egg at Maryland on Saturday, which was the disappointing one. And they've had some games like that. That one was a little bit of a head scratcher because Maryland had been struggling and got off to a hot start. They are good at home. They're tough to beat at home, as a lot of teams are. And it just seemed like the Cats were a step slow all day. They were slow getting to the 50-50 balls, slow getting to rebounds, missing some open shots. And I still felt, though, that at halftime they had a great shot in that game. They were down by 7 at halftime after being down, I think, by 14 or 15 points in the first half. But they started the second half cold, couldn't make a shot. Maryland built the lead back up to double digits, and that kind of did it. And, I think they've had those games, Adam, and it's been a little bit puzzling, a little bit frustrating. And, I felt that they had kind of turned the corner prior to the Maryland game. So I think how they play tonight is going to be a pretty good indicator of whether or not that was a fluke or whether that was kind of back to the way they were playing earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think I said Michigan. I meant Maryland. And back-to-back road trips here for you guys. You mentioned the road thing. I remember looking at the schedule earlier in the season, and just it looks weird. How much of that is due to the Big Ten tournament being moved up and them crunching in the schedule and also playing at Allstate Arena with other scheduling problems? Is that to blame for these long stretches of either road or home games that you usually see it more balanced in the Big Ten schedule?
You do, but they're not the only team to play three straight road games this year in conference play. But I do think it's a combination of those factors. I think everybody's been crunched this year. I think there's a couple of things. One, it's the tournament being played a week earlier this year. Two, it's the new television schedule, which now has teams playing on Monday nights and on Friday nights. And then you factor in also the availability of Allstate Arena for their home games, and that has an impact on the scheduling. So I think it's all those things. I think next year, with the tournament going back a week, they'll still play those two games in December. And remember, they're adding two Big Ten games next year. They go to a 20-game regular season Big Ten schedule. So that's also going to impact it. But it's also the start times on these games. I mean, Saturday, the game started at 11 a.m. Chicago time, and tonight it'll start at 9 o'clock here in the East. Now, granted, they've played a lot of 8 o'clock games Chicago time this season. They're kind of used to that, but it is kind of one end of the spectrum to the other, which actually might not be a bad thing because, after all, these are college kids, and their day starts later than a lot of us. So playing at 9 o'clock at night, game won't end till 11 here on the East Coast, and that might not be a bad thing for them.
So I remember last season I was listening to you and Joey Meyer on the call, Northwestern at Rutgers, and Joey kept talking about how Rutgers was such a tough team under Steve Peichel, and they're making all these adjustments, especially defensively, right? And yet it still seems like it's the same. It seems to be the common theme with Rutgers. They're not an easy team to play against ever, but when you break it down, they're still struggling in the Big Ten. 2-12 overall, and what was looked like a strong non-conference season is now flipped the other way overall. So, not an easy game tonight by any means, even though the record, says it's a game that Northwestern should win.
Well, they're a tough team to play. They're a very good defensive team, Adam, and they have been under Steve Peichel, who's a really good coach. And I do think Rutgers is better than they were when they came into the league. But they've still clearly got a ways to go. Offensively, they're the worst team in the league. Mm-hmm. They're the worst shooting team. They're the lowest scoring team. They're even the worst free throw shooting team. They lead the league in offensive rebounds, but you can figure out why. Now they do rebound very well, but if they weren't the best rebounding team in the league, they'd really have problems. They're a very good defensive team, holding opponents to 63 points a game. And Northwestern's a good defensive team. They've gotten better since they went to this zone, and even though at times they gave up some shots on Saturday against Maryland. So this could be a very low-scoring game here tonight. I think that's sort of what everybody's expecting, is maybe that this is a game that's going to be in the 50s. But I still think that Northwestern has been playing better than they played on Saturday. I think you look now after this game, they're going to play three straight at home. So I think they still have a chance to finish the season strong. But you're right, this is not an easy game for them, and it's a game that, If they want to avoid finishing in the bottom half of the Big Ten, this is a game they absolutely have to have.
So has Steve Cochran been sending you texts from Vegas bragging about the weather?
Not really bragging about it, but I have heard from those guys a little bit, and they were texting me pictures last night from, I don't know, Bellagio, wherever they were, and I texted them a picture back of me sitting on the plane at Newark Airport. I think that's probably an even swap.
Yeah, there's no better place to be than the Newark Airport.
Exactly.
All right. Well, have a good call tonight, Dave, and we'll be listening. It's Northwestern and Rutgers out in New Jersey.
All right. All right. Thanks, Adam.
All right, Dave Ennett in Piscataway with Northwestern. All right. And by the way, Thursday's show, going to be looking forward to this. Northwestern's football players that are trying to get in the NFL draft, trying to get drafted this spring, I should say, are going to be in studio with us. We're going to have Godwin Igwebuke and Tyler Lancaster, two captains from Northwestern that are trying to live out their NFL dreams, training at TC Boost in Northbrook, and they're going to be in studio with us on Thursday's edition of Sports Central.
That's a pump up. I love those guys.
Yeah.
You know, Igwebuke, I'm surprised that he's going to the NFL. He reminds me of, you remember that Ohio State point guard, Aaron Kraft?
Yeah.
That was just, he was on the team for like a decade.
You know, though, Godwin could have come out last year.
Oh, yeah.
And actually got graded out by the NFL at that point and didn't really like what he was hearing, so he went back. So he'll be at the Combine. Justin Jackson will be at the Combine. Unfortunately, Justin can't join us Thursday because of class. A big reason why these Northwestern kids train here instead of going off to Florida or LA like all these other athletes is because most of them are still trying to finish out school in the spring.
Yeah, and you know, getting back to Igwebuke, I mean, sticking around, getting your degree from Northwestern, that's definitely not a bad thing.
No. No, and most of these guys get that done. All right, we do have some buried headlines to get to you before the show is over. So we'll dive into our buried headlines right now, starting with the Bears' first preseason game getting announced today. And I had a feeling this was coming. You know, the Eagles writers, after Brian Dawkins and T.L. got in to the Hall of Fame, all thought the Eagles would be playing in the Hall of Fame game in August. It's not the Eagles. It's the Bears and the Ravens. They're going Brian Urlacher versus Ray Lewis.
Has that happened before, where a team has won the Super Bowl and played in the Hall of Fame game?
That's why I was thinking, because I was actually, this was on the bus to the Super Bowl with some of those guys, and they're like, yeah, well, it's got to be the Eagles, because they got two guys going in. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you're playing in the Super Bowl. Your season just got extended. I don't know that they would make you then turn around and start training camp early next year, because that's really the biggest part of this from from what a football coach thinks of it. You have to play a fifth preseason game here, which is not a great thing, but you do get to practice a week early. And under a new head coach, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And if you've watched the Hall of Fame game in recent years, none of the starters play.
With that being said, you want to set the over-under on Trubisky snaps for that game?
So what's interesting about that is it is a new offense. He's still a young guy. I'll say he plays a series. So snaps?
3.5.
I'll go over.
Yeah?
They drive down the field, score a touchdown.
3 handoffs and a punt. I'll take the under.
Hey, Doug Peterson was in Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback.
Love that.
And one of the things that stood out to me, he said that, or was it Frank Reich?
Doug was in it too. But Frank was the one that was like the poster child of the tweet.
So whichever one said it though, said that for every formation they have three plays that come out of it. You know, they could run, pass, or you know, do something else out of the same motion, because the point being that these days defensive coordinators are so smart that they pick up on keys like that. You know, one guy simply going in motion in one spot, they know a play's coming. But if you have three different plays coming out of that one motion, it makes it a lot harder to defend. So hopefully, I mean, you heard the quote from Jordan Howard during Super Bowl week. Defense knew what we were running. That's one of the biggest reasons why I think Matt Nagy is going to have such a big impact in his first year. It's completely fair to say the guy's never coached, been a head coach before. I have no idea how he's going to handle game day. I have no idea how he's going to handle timeouts and challenges. No clue. Never seen him do it before. But from an offensive standpoint, that's the kind of stuff that has to get you excited. As a Bears fan, the unpredictability of the offense, and I recommend checking out that piece from Peter King and his Monday Morning Quarterback. By the way, we do have a gift certificate to Golf Center Displays to give away. And the question we want you to answer, 312-235-2525 is the phone number, 312-235-2525. When's the last time the Bears played in the Hall of Fame game? Winner gets a gift certificate to Golf Center of Des Plaines, Chicagoland's premier year-round golf practice facility with the area's only fully lighted 9-hole course, newly renovated landing turf, 3-tiered year-round driving range, and state-of-the-art golf instruction. Visit golfcenterdesplaines.com. And we're asking you, when's the last time the Bears played in the Hall of Fame game? All right, I saw this right before the show started. You saw that flagrant foul that Bobby Portis had against Washington the other night? Where he hit the ball? I mean, it was vicious, but he hit the ball. The NBA held that up. They did not reduce it. It's standing as a flagrant, too. Weird. Maybe Al Riveron was asked to consult on that decision.
Also, what's your favorite Al Riveron? Didn't you? Wasn't there one where he said he caught the ball? Wasn't the Jesse James one where he's like he catches the ball and then?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yes. He literally said in the review where he was calling it incomplete that he caught the ball.
Watch this. He catches the ball and then it's like, well, did he not catch it? I thought he didn't catch it.
I have to go back and look at that on my Twitter feed. Because, yeah, I tweeted out, like, here's Al Riveron while explaining how a guy didn't catch the ball, literally saying he catches the ball. That was the best.
Yep.
And then when he overturned Zach Miller's and literally pointed to a shadow.
What a jerk.
He pointed to nothing and said, ah, there, the ball is clearly hitting the ground. Steve Kerr, last night the Warriors were blowing out the Suns. He handed the clipboard over to his players. Said, you guys coach the rest of the game. Tony Daniels called it disrespectful.
Yeah, I agree with him.
You think it's disrespectful?
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit of a smug thing to do. I mean,
maybe,
get it, dude. You're championship contenders. There's probably even a better word than championship contenders. They're championship favorites, and like you're walloping a team that's going to draft in the top five. Like, we get it, dude. You're good. You don't need to like rub it in our faces that what's his name, Green, is out there with the clipboard pretending to be a coach.
I liked it. I don't know. I found it entertaining. Stop him. If you're that mad about it,
yeah, maybe
make a play.
Maybe it's because it was Draymond Green. Maybe if it was like Steph Curry, I'd be okay with it. But since it was Draymond, I was like, God, yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't lose to a team coached by players. By like 35 or whatever it was. You get blown out. Stop him.
Draymond Green, the next Bill Russell, player coach.
Yeah. All right, fun show today. That's it. But it's fun going coast to coast with Steve Cochran, Kevin Powell, Dave Ennett, WGN Radio Sports, all over the place today. And great to see. What did we screw up today, Joe?
Not many screw-ups, but just wanted to get a few stats correct here. That 9-game losing streak was in 2012.
Okay.
And
wow, 6 years ago.
Yeah. And they ended up making the playoffs that year, but in the 9-game losing streak, they had just one point. So what's that, 9 games? So that's 18 out of 18 points available. They got just one in an overtime loss to the hated Vancouver Canucks. We had said this, so this isn't necessarily Kevin Powell's fault because he wasn't on with us at the time, but he talked about it being Sosa's number. Guys that have worn Sammy Sosa's number 21 since he left: Jason Marquis, Milton Bradley, Tyler Colvin, Joe Mather. We all remember Joe Mather.
Oh, right? Yeah, Joe Mather.
Scott Harrison, Junior Lake, Tommy Hunter, and who's this from last year? Mark Zagunas?
Yeah. No idea.
Yeah. Again, you don't have to hang it in the rafters. Just don't let it be available to Tommy Hunter.
And my apologies to Chris Bryant for trying to give away his number 17.
Whoops. And then the Rutgers, they're the furthest they've ever gotten. They actually made it to the Final Four in 1976.
Oh, okay.
Lost to Michigan. What's up?
You had to sneak that in there.
Yeah. And then they got walloped in the third place game by UCLA.
That a third place game back then?
Yep. 1976, they lost.
What was the point of that?
106-92 to UCLA.
Do you get a bronze medal for that?
Yeah, you get something. Well, they didn't get the bronze medal. UCLA did.
By the way, after actually curling last night, I woke up at 5 a.m. and watched the gold medal game today. It's dedication. My wife was like, why are you awake at 5 a.m.? Gotta watch curling. Right. No one will get this reference, but you know what? If you do and you tweet at me. We'll figure out a way to get you a Golf Center of Des Plaines gift card. The, what's her name? Caitlin, whatever her name is, on the Canadian mixed doubles team. Anyway, her name's Caitlin something. She looks exactly like Taylor Townsend from the OC. No one will get that reference, but I'm okay with it. More OC references and curling tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Sports Central. Talk to you then.